In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and this man here is Marek Larwood.
Hello, listeners. And what's that other strange creature making noises?
That's Buddy, and he's got a small squeaky cat this week, so hopefully he'll keep the noise down.
Buddy's a dog, not a human being.
Because
if you didn't say that, people would go, that's Buddy, he's got a small squeaky cat. People might think he's just
an odd bloke.
Yeah.
Why does he keep loitering around? Yes, he's a dog. Hello. Welcome to Film Fandango. We're going to talk about films for a brief period of time. Maybe you're on a commute to work or simply trying to drop off to sleep and you need some irritated, slightly stumbly voices to lull you into dreamland.
Maybe you're trying to find some meaning to the... well done, Buddy. I was trying to just do a really nice poetic bit, and he was silent for your thing, and as soon as I start talking, he starts squeaking the shitting cat.
I've trained him well.
And now the growling is not... He's Buddy not letting go of the squeaking cat.
Right, I'm going to put the cat away. This is not going to work.
Look at...
Buddy, leave. Good boy.
What's happening now is David's removed the squeaky cat out of the box, and he's put it in a safe place. He's now going to the dog toy box, and he's located a soundless woolen ball item. Buddy has looked at it and he's not interested in the woolen ball item, and he's picked up a pair of socks instead. But we're not here to talk about what dogs do in the background.
That is a more entertaining podcast. Can we do that? No, you're right, we're not. I've been to the cinema to see one of their, famous films that have come out recently.
Tell me all about it.
I went to see the superhero ensemble movie, X-Men : Days of Future Past. Days of Future Past, which is... God only knows. Like the 12th X-Men film. Let's go through it. There was X-Men 1, the Bryan Singer film, which was rather good, starred Hugh Jackman as Wolverine and a load of other people as other people. And everyone's ever favourite old couple, Patrick Stewart as Professor X and Ian McKellen as Magneto. The second one came out and that was even better. And everyone was like, yay, great. Then Bryan Singer... disappointingly said he wouldn't make the third one and went to make Superman Returns instead, which was a bit of a flop, and Brett Ratner made the third one instead, and it was terrible. It was a terrible film, X-Men.
What was that one?
X-Men Last Stand.
Then there was Avengers Assault.
Not yet. Then they tried to spin off Wolverine movies with X-Men Origins Wolverine, which was appalling, trying to do backstory to Wolverine. Then they tried again with another Wolverine movie, with The Wolverine, which again was sort of fine, but not great. I might be getting these in the wrong order, but then X-Men First Class did a reboot of it, setting it during the Cuban Missile Crisis and going back before, and trying to claim it, and recasting young people, Michael Fassbender as Magneto and James McAvoy as Professor X. Wolverine still...
That wasn't a stumble, then. That was the first class. I mean, I saw that one. That was quite good, wasn't it?
It is quite good, yes. And this is the sequel to that. But it's trying to tie everything together into one canon by combining the young cast with the old cast in a time travel narrative.
So it's not Back to the Future, just with X-Men.
That's exactly what they're attempting, yes. So, the story of this is, in the future, the story of this, actually, I won't bother describing.
Sorry, just to pause a second. But he's got a bottle top now. Is he allowed to chew that?
Yeah, he'll chew that. It's fine. Unless it's too noisy.
It's small. I don't want him to choke on it. I don't mind if he chokes, but I don't want to...
He's not going to choke on that.
Interrupt the podcast.
He's old enough. He's the equivalent of 15 years old in human years.
Oh, that's why he's being difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, basically, sorry. This film is Terminator with X-Men. So the future dystopia has happened, and all the mutants and humankind have been killed by these massive robots called Sentinels. And their only hope is to go back in time and stop the Sentinels ever being made.
That is a ripoff of Terminator.
Yes, and the original comic series may have come out before Terminator, I'm not sure. No, it did, in fact, I think. I think it was the 70s, but I'm not
so
sure.
So maybe Terminator ripped it's off possible. The X-Men.
We write in if you know the answer to this one, because I'm not sure. But certainly they're the same plot. So I went back and read the comics, and it's a very simple story, actually, and it's Kitty Pryde who actually goes back in time, which is the character Ellen Page plays, but in the movie they've swapped it to being Wolverine, because he's a man. So, the story of this one, after all of that preamble, is they have to stop these robots ever being invented, and they were invented by Peter Dinklage.
I knew Dinklage was something to do with it.
Yeah, and when Mystique in the past, who is played by Jennifer Lawrence,
she's the one who changes. Favorite,
she's the one who wands around naked and blue, and she can change into any person and mimic their voice. When she assassinates Peter Dinklage, that gives the government every reason to start the Sentinels program, and that starts it all off. So they have to go back in time to stop it. And the only one who can go back in time is Wolverine because of his Healy rubbish. Fine. It is so confused, this film. The critics have loved it. The audiences seem to have loved it. They're all wrong. Because this is... Not a single thing in this film makes any sense. Nothing. It's so convoluted and confused, and its internal logic is appalling. It was so boring. There are...
It's got 8.6,
yeah,
around me.
There are wonderful moments.
It's the 65th best film of all time, David.
Yeah, it's rubbish. It's a really rubbish film. It's not as good as the last one. And the last one I didn't think was brilliant anyway. Here's why. The entire plot starts with a premise that doesn't make any sense. And there are far too many characters already, because they've combined two whole franchises that have too many characters anyway. But basically, Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart send Wolverine back in time and say, you have to stop Mystique from killing Peter Dinklage. Only then will we, you know, we'll be able to save us all. Fine. Okay, you've defined your goal. Then they say, you're going to need both of our help. Both young Professor X and Ian McKellen.
Yeah, I've seen it in the trailer.
They just go, right. Oh, but that's not all. Young Professor X back then didn't have his powers, and I was in a maximum security prison. Just go, right. So he didn't have any powers, and you're in prison. Why does Wolverine need either of you? And the only reason is... Because people like James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender. There is no logical reason why Wolverine can't stop the assassination on his own. So half the film is him trying to convince a man with no powers he should use his powers again and break out a man they know is evil, who then inevitably turns on them and becomes a baddie. It makes no sense. But still, they drag their heels, constantly going... Oh, we have to convince Mystique not to do this. And then changing the goalposts to, oh, they're actually after Mystique's DNA, rather than they have to stop her assassinating somebody. And this is my problem. When you do a time travel narrative, they don't make sense. So they have to be fairy tales. There are too many logical loopholes. So you have to be like Terminator or Back to the Future and say, here is the definite goal. If my parents don't kiss... at the school disco, I will never be born. That is the goal, and that never changes. Or Terminator, if John Connor is killed, then mankind is doomed. That is our goal. If you ever start changing the goalpost and going, what if this, and what if this, and what is this, you're lost. Your plot doesn't make any sense. That's a massive hole in it. Huge holes all over the place. It doesn't have a story at all. It is just linking of set pieces with completely confused, out-of-their-depth dialogue. The second problem with it is the best action sequences are done by characters who aren't engaged with the plot at all. So they go, we have to break Magneto out of prison for no reason at all.
Could you say some spoilers, aren't there? Some spoilers.
Well, sort of, but there's no story, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
We have to break Magneto out of prison. None of our powers can do that. Wolverine goes, I know a guy. And they go and get...
Lockman.
They go and get Locksmith Boy. No, they go and get Quicksilver, who can run incredibly fast. But doesn't matter. But... So he breaks them out of prison in one of the best shot and most entertaining bits of the film. And then, rather than they've then brought him into the X-Men and he carries on, he then leaves immediately once that sequence is done. So none of the characters, none of the 16 principal characters actually did anything there.
Mm.
And meanwhile, they keep cutting back to the future, where they're constantly fighting massive robots, like in the post-apocalyptic Terminator 2 stuff.
Mm.
And the nearly all the characters who are actually doing those sequences, which are really well choreographed and really fun, you know, reminiscent of the Nightcrawler stuff from the beginning of X-Men 2, are all done by characters, again, not involved in the plot. Mm. A character called Blink, one called Bishop, and another one called Sunspot. They don't have any lines. They don't say anything.
Mm.
So they just keep pouring on characters who can do action sequences whilst everyone else just does nothing. Absolutely nothing. Like, it's a complete mess. I don't know why people like it, and the only thing I can put my finger on is there are really fun bits, and that's enough for people. And the Emperor's New Clothes phenomena of, look, this film has so many people we love in it. Not only does it have Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen, everyone's favourite people from the internet, it's got Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, he's back, Storm is barely in it, brilliant. Jennifer Lawrence is in it, who everyone loves, and not only that, we've added the best guy from Game of Thrones, Peter Dinklage, he's in it, and does nothing. He's given nothing to do. So how can we not love it? It's got everyone we love in it. And it's boring. It's so boring. And a total mess. If I had to compare it to any other film recently, it has the skill of delivery and is spiritually the same as Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull or the fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Oh dear.
Where there are some beautifully choreographed set pieces and it's linked by dross. It's not a story. It's just mess. It's a total mess.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
How many Davids?
I'm going to give it... probably four, because there's some really fun bits. As I say, if anyone's played the computer game Portal, you'll really love the character of Blink, because I say character, you'll really love the stuff they do with her, because there's some fun bits with portals and attacking stuff. That's all really good, and the Quicksilver thing is great. He should have been in the film more. So those bits have got four Davids on their own, but no, it's a mess. Wolverine isn't Wolverine. He just he has crises of confidence and isn't badass at all. He's not Wolverine anymore. None of the characters do the things the characters would do. And Magneto is just like good or bad depending on what they need at the time for the action sequence.
Moral of the story: don't watch superhero films ever.
You know, I'm done. I think I'm done.
Well, that means no more cinema art for you, because that's all that's going to be out.
That's right. That's right.
Should we go to our letter section?
Yes, please do.
The letter section. We all enjoy hearing from members of the public and listeners. But just how do they contact us, David?
Well, you can email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or go to Facebook.com/filmfandango, or tweet us @filmfandango. Or you can tweet us individually as well, @MrDavidReed and @MarekLarwood.
I've got a letter here from someone from Canada.
Lovely.
Hello, Merrick, David, and Buddy.
I recently returned to Canada from vacation, and I've been catching up on episodes of the podcast I missed. I was pleasantly surprised to hear a review of The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, because I had just watched it on a long flight from Japan to Canada. I have to say, Merrick's review was spot on. Is this a good accent?
I think it's as close to Canadian as you can get. I mean, it's Wolverine is Canadian, actually. Bit of backstory.
Okay.
It's Terrence and Philip, isn't it? Canada.
On that same flight, I watched the classic movie, The Deer Hunter. Although the stories are completely different, it highlights the erosion of character development in recent films. Walter Mitty was full of beautiful cinematography with some flashy CGI, trying to capture the underlying message with bits of story trying to link it all together. In the end, you don't really feel for the transformation of the character because you don't understand him. In contrast, The Deer Hunter takes time to develop the characters and their relationships. The scenes are long and slower paced by today's standards, but they work. And they do provide the necessary insight into the characters' lives. After the war scenes and the character changes that occurred as a result, I felt more of a connection to the characters and their struggles. In a society where everything is instant gratification, unfortunately, a lot of films have gone the same way. It was nice to watch a piece of art that took time to develop, which left a lasting impression and a greater appreciation of the work. Cheers, Andrew, Ottawa, Canada.
Canada. Thank you, Andrew, from Ottawa.
I agree with that. I think we've been saying it for a long time. It's just all rushing it.
I agree, but I don't think it being rushed is the only problem. But Hollywood has forgotten how to write decent characters, or certainly lots of films just don't have them. And that isn't always a case of taking things slowly. You know, there are genres that need you to go fast, the adventure genre. But there's been a real creep of a lack of character consistency and world consistency. Like I was saying with the X-Men films, I think it has been, X-Men is not alone in doing this. You know, things don't make any logical sense, and the filmmakers don't seem to think that matters.
Mm.
And maybe it doesn't. These films are making huge amounts of money, but I don't enjoy them. Like, when you have to be, you know, one iota above a complete cretin to go, what? That doesn't make any sense.
Maybe you're just getting old.
Oh, I don't think so. Like, films made sense. The equivalent of the X-Men films for our generation would be like Star Wars or Indiana Jones. And those stories and characters are tight. Really tight. And they're really satisfying.
Like my ass.
Really tight and really satisfying.
Also, if you... This weird podcast... We done that donations bit?
No, we've not. It's an odd place to bring it in after talking about your tight, satisfying ass.
If you want me to keep my ass really tight,
your Marek's ass chat free and available, then you can donate to our podcast. We do it all for free and at our own expense. So thank you to everyone who's donated so far.
Yes, thank you very much. Very generous.
If you haven't, or if you'd like to donate again, as the running costs keep carrying on, then you can go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the link from there.
And thank you for that, because it really helps us out.
Thank you.
You know, we're just about break even.
Near enough.
What was I going to say? So, I've been to see a film this week.
Yes.
It's only got a limited release, but you can also watch it online at on the Curzon website, Curzon. It's a film that won awards in the Cannes Film Festival.
It won Best Director at Cannes.
Yes.
It's a Mexican film, and they entered it for Mexico's entry for the Oscars as well, for Best Film.
Yes.
Best Foreign.
And it's on there for £5 on the Curzon. Normally, some of them have been like £10, it's been a rip-off, so it's all right. If you have four friends... And you put a pound in each is £1.
Yeah, that's true.
If you have 10 friends...
50p.
Yeah. And I can't imagine what if you've got like 13. I don't know what then. It's
what are you doing difficult. Watching films?
Yeah, exactly.
Go play football.
Yeah.
It's called Healy. Heli. I watched this as well. Why don't you describe what it is?
So it's a Mexican film, and it's quite a bleak portrait of this poor Mexican family who is Heli and his sort of fairly recent wife and their baby, who they live with their father in just in a poor area of Mexico. Not
and
sure.
And his little sister as well.
Yes, and his little sister, 12-year-old sister. Life's just quite, it's quite a good portrait. It's quite interesting seeing a portrait that we don't really see. It isn't really a huge subject of films.
Yes.
So I find that fascinating. And it's shot quite truthfully, matter-of-factly. Heli's younger sister gets involved with this boy who's in the army. And
it's the police, isn't it? I think
is he in the army or the police?
I think he's in the police.
Same thing. They've got uniforms and they've got guns.
Yeah.
And he gets involved in this sort of drugs. They're burning the drugs, and he tries to sort of save some money by stealing some drugs, and implicates the rest of the family indirectly in this war with this sort of drugs cartel, and everything goes wrong. It is very bleak.
Incredibly bleak. And shocking, really.
Yeah, and it is quite... And you do feel, after watching... It's strange, isn't it? After watching all these big blockbusters, they're trying to replicate emotions. Everything so feels so contrived.
Yeah.
This doesn't really feel contrived at all.
It stayed with me, this one, in that it really makes you feel vulnerable being surrounded by potentially unscrupulous, nasty people, I think. And especially feel vulnerable for, you know, your loved ones and stuff. Like, it feels so plausible is what's terrifying about it, I think.
Yeah, it's brutal and stark.
Yeah.
And shocking in that way, because there's no sentiment.
There's no trappings of plot or genre either, particularly. It just feels possible. Doesn't it? Even he doesn't really go on a hero journey so much either. It's a very different beast, this film, I think.
Yeah, there's no happy endings to it. There's no.
It's arguably sort of emotional resolution, but it's tough. It's just bleak. It's bleak. I wouldn't say it's necessarily entertaining. Either, but
In the background, Buddy's now brought in a carton of, is it coconut milk?
Yes, I think it is. Where have you got that from? Have you fished that out of the bin?
That what you're seeing now, Buddy's face, is a despair as a coconut carton has been taken away from him, is very similar to some of the scenes of despair in the film. Now, my one problem with this is I thought the direction was really good. I thought I was fascinated by the whole thing, to see this sort of gritty slice of life of Mexico, a place that isn't in the news or isn't really the subject of many films. But I thought that he was let down. I think the cast are probably doing their very first film. I thought some of the emotional scenes were so traumatic. The characters' reactions weren't plausible.
Who specifically?
I don't want to give away any spoilers, but bad things happen to members of the family, and their reactions to it are not... A lot of the time, instead of crying or being devastated, I found the character would move their heads and just move away from the camera as if they're about to cry. So I didn't find it real. I didn't find their reactions realistic.
I don't know. I felt it wasn't like traditional sort of cinematic melodrama where people don't always react in a sort of, like they're trying to communicate to somebody elsewhere what they're feeling at any time. You know, people do sort of act oddly. They just sort of become lost when things that you can't really comprehend happen. And I felt that was almost what was quite powerful about it.
Mm.
You know, that what if you sort of, you don't immediately do the right thing or feel the right thing, or what? It's just like it's too big, what's happening.
I mean, the horror, to put it into context, if you've seen my favourite, Ben Wheatley, who's a British director.
Kill List had the similar sort of creep.
Yeah, but I
to
thought
it.
Down Terrace, yes, which is his most realistic and probably my favourite of his films.
Yeah.
Which I would highly recommend. It's just a sort of suburban family who are all murderers.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the realism so. It feels like a home video.
Yeah,
like
they're not serial killers. They're sort of professional.
Yeah,
you know, sort
but
of.
But it feels like it's shot like a Christmas video almost at times.
Yeah, yeah.
So when the moments of violence are more shocking, and this in Heli, you feel really, the characters are really vulnerable because they've just entered a whole world which is brutal, and they don't get, and they're just powerless.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Against these huge drug cartels, which is terrifying, and the police are corrupt. There's corruption all the way around. There's I just thought if, I'd hate to criticise other actors, but if in hands of a more competent cast, this felt like being just a couple of shades away from being a brilliant film.
I felt it ended abruptly for me.
Mm.
I felt I didn't think it was the end, you know, which might be, you know, adept in its own way, but it's certainly a very different film, but it wasn't what I was expecting at all. I found it a rather uncomfortable watch, but it was moving, I guess.
It's a low budget film, so $1 million budget, you know, really impressive. And these are films like this and Blue Ruin, I've talked about recently.
Yeah,
I think there's far more interesting films which are, rather than getting cinematic releases, are getting releases on places like the Kurz and the BFI. Are releasing them online releases as that can tie in with the cinema.
Yeah,
which I think is a good way of seeing these films. And I think in terms of pricing, I know we're going away from it. I think £5 is a fair price for a new release. You know,
yeah. If you're not also something that's not going to reach a massive audience, then I don't mind paying. You know, that in that sort of region, I'd rather pay £5 for somebody who's not going to make a lot of money back on this than pay £14 to something that's going to make millions and millions of dollars.
Is that how much the X-Men was?
X-Men cost £14. It's unbelievable.
And did you have 3D glasses?
Yeah. Had to buy those.
Do you think we've got a backup pair?
Always put them in the bin, mate. Recycle them. Always
I
recycle them.
Keep mine.
It's a good idea now. Well, they didn't used
you
to charge for
thousands
them.
And thousands of pounds on,
I know,
3D
yeah.
glasses.
They didn't used to charge for them. That's sort of a new thing.
So who would you recommend Heli for? Date night?
I don't think so. I mean, there's some very horrible things going on, but not in a sort of B-movie way, just in a sort of, oh, God, no, sort of way. I think it's a sort of, makes you reappraise life, but in a bleak way.
Yeah.
A bit. Makes you like, don't watch it if you feel you're on the brink of being sort of properly deep tissue sad about something, because it will tip you over the edge.
I'd like to know more about what's going on in sort of areas of South America with drug cartels. I think there are, you know, you hear stories about Mexico and Brazil having huge problems. I don't know how realistic it is and how corrupt the police are.
They're very powerful. I mean, I lived in Peru for a bit, and which is obviously a lot further south than Mexico, but Mexico, it all goes over the border to the States. That's where the money is. So it just passes through. And so they're incredibly powerful, I think, from what I've heard.
Maybe we'll have a new wave because of the World Cup coming up and the Olympics. It might lead to loads more interest in like Mexican and Brazil and South American films.
Mm.
And one of my favourite films, City of God. Have you seen that?
Yes, so? Yes. Great film.
We must watch that. I don't really know if there's much to say about this film.
Well, without spoiling it, no. I mean, I think we have sort of said what there is to say about it.
Yeah, there's some kissing in it as well.
There's a bit of kissing, isn't there? There's a very odd scene with a policewoman in a car. I don't know where that came from.
But that's quite disturbing as well. I don't know. I
didn't know how to take that. I didn't know what I was being told.
Well, that's about it, isn't it?
That's about it for this week. I mean, yes.
Hey, but guess what?
What?
Guess what I'm going to go and see next week? Almost definitely.
What?
22 Jump Street.
Hey, that should be good, hopefully. I mean, sequels to comedies.
I hope it is.
Name a good one.
I love 21 Jump Street. So
name a good sequel to a comedy.
the 22 Jump Street, hopefully.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, okay. Well, yes, and I'm sure lots of people will disagree with me about X-Men, but it just really bored me and pissed me off. So, but if you want to, give it a better review, then do email us that address again, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com.
Well, it's been quite bleak this week's episode, hasn't it?
Well, one bleak quality and one just sort of, this is really ineptly done.
Thank God for Buddy playing around in the background.
I know, otherwise we'd have driven people to the heli edge.
Yeah. Well, try not to top yourself and...
keep watching the films.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.